Bible this evening, and I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs. We're going to look at one verse here and some other verses elsewhere. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Stand with me, if you will. Proverbs chapter number 22. Look at verse number 29. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 29. Proverbs 22, 29. Let's do this. Let's read this one verse together and out loud. You follow me, but let's do it. Ready? Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Now, let's pray. Father, bless us tonight with thy presence. Take the sermon. Use it to get glory to thyself. Father, may this sermon keep the unity of our church. May it be strong. Make this sermon understandable. And Father, just give me strength as I teach. Holy Spirit of God, take this sermon tonight and have it to add life to our church. Length of life, strength of life, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. I want to tell you, when I preach a sermon, I often work at it. I want it to flow as a sermon. I want it to be presented in a way that I can keep your attention and in a way that you can tell that some energy and effort have been put into it. I'll be very honest with you. I tried to figure out a way to preach what I'm going to say tonight, and I couldn't figure out a way to do that. I'm going to teach it, and I'm going to be straightforward with you. I'm not really going to care about my delivery. I'm really not going to give any concern to that. I would rather get the material, get my thoughts to you, than to try to impress you with the way it's structured or the way it's put together. There have been years and years of learning to say some of these simple little things that I'm about to say. I call the sermon Biblical Business Advice. Now, you might say, well, preacher, I don't own a business, therefore I don't need this sermon. No, we all do business. We all transact business. And that's what the sermon is going to be about. Listen to me, if you will, and have mercy on me. Again, I'm not about to try to impress you with the way this sermon is structured. I want to tell you some things that are important to the life of our church, the future of our church, and important to you as an individual. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:29, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business?" God is talking to us about the way we conduct business. That could be a man that owns what you and I would consider a business, or that could be you and I as we transact business. Children buy a candy bar from time to time. Teenagers conduct business. They trade and they work. They babysit and they mow yards, and adults transact business. Even a lady that's a housewife. First of all, if anyone says, well, she's a housewife, she doesn't work, that's the wrong way to say it. I'll tell you right off the bat. And they do work. But there's so much business a housewife takes care of. I mean, they're helping to pay bills. They're doing grocery shopping. They're dealing with people on the phone, over the telephone system, and so many other things. So I believe the sermon applies to everybody. To some, a little more now. To some others, a little more later. But to all of us, it's going to help us. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Here God said, don't you be slothful about your business transactions. The word slothful actually means slow to be poured out. Don't be lazy. Be assertive. Be on purpose when it comes to your business dealings. Now, I thank the Lord. America is a land of opportunity. And no matter what anybody says, you know, our economy at its worst since this country began is better than most economies in most countries at their best since they began. And so we might look at it and, you know, when we're saying, I can't hardly afford to keep my two or three cars around, it's just getting tough around here. There are other countries that don't have cars, and a moped is a high quality mode of transportation, and they ride their horses and oxen. And so America, it thrives. There are jobs. There are jobs in America. And if you're looking for a job and not finding one, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but it's not an absence in the job market. There's work out there. And there's work. And there are businesses out there, and businesses of all sizes. Some hire many employees, some work for themselves. And we all of us, we buy, we sell, we trade, and it's on a daily basis. In our church, we have people that would be what you would call, we have business owners, we have what they call blue-collar workers, we have what we'd call white-collar workers, we have full-time workers, we have part-time workers, we have people that have businesses that are growing and becoming stronger, we have people with smaller businesses that I think will grow eventually. We have people that maybe have, they make thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a year, and then we have those that make hundreds of dollars a year. But we have a lot of different people doing a lot of different things. Now, I like business. I like trade. I like commerce. I like all of that. And you know, when we're buying this and selling that and renting this and borrowing that, people get excited about those things. But I have to tell you, all of that, when it begins to affect us in the church, I cringe just a little. When I watch church people doing business with one another, when I watch us hiring one another, when I watch us borrowing and paying back and exchanging funds and promoting this and promoting that, I have to tell you, it's exciting, and you have a business and you're ready to roll and you're ready to go and you're ready for it to thrive. As your pastor, I'm on the sidelines saying, I just hope all that goes well. I just hope all that turns out well. You say, why? Because I spend my life straightening out messes when we interact with one another. So that's a little bit the purpose of the sermon tonight. I want to help our church. Now, let me tell you this. I'm every bit for our helping one another and getting involved with one another. But I got to tell you something. There's a right and wrong way to handle yourselves. And I think I can help it along. And let me tell you right off the bat this also. I'll teach you some things. I hope that you'll see the common sense and the scriptural sense in them. And then I hope that you'll follow them. Now, if you don't, you won't end up on my blacklist. I don't work like that. I want to teach you some things that I think will help us to have proper unity in the church as we are all trying to succeed and, you know, we exchange and help and get involved with one another. But I think you'll do yourself a favor if you'll hear me out a little bit. For some of you, it's the first time you've been in business or had a job or this, that, or the other. I've been dealing with this sort of things with people for a real long time, so I've been able to gather some things along the way that I think will help you. Again, I call it biblical business advice. Number one, if you have a business, I'm talking about you own a business, remember, as a church member then, you represent our church. And in a way, the same way, if you work at a business, believe it or not, there are people, if you're working somewhere, there are people that know where you go to church. But if you own a business, there are people that know where you go to church. Your membership here associates our church with your business and your business behavior and your business reputation. You say, well, I don't want that. I might not either. But we don't have any choice. The minute that you are transacting business, people will associate you with our church. And you know how unfair people can be? There could be one person in our church that did something really super, 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 super stupid. And then somebody in the community hears about it. And the next thing you know, they're saying, all them people down there are super, 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 super stupid. Well, it was only you. It was only that one. But they have an uncanny ability to make us all look like the dumb bunny that you know, made the mistake. So, hey, if you own a business, you need to remember your business, whether you like it or not, really represents us. And I happen to know this. We will use our association with the church to increase our business. You'll use your association to increase people's trust in your business. You can use it to increase your sales. I happen to know that. You walk up to somebody and say, I go to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I'm in church 3 times a week. And people say, you know what? That must mean you're trustworthy. You're a Christian. And people do that all the time. They use their Christianity to increase their sales. They use their Christianity to increase their business transactions. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad for people to do that. But remember, while you're busy using it to help you, I'd like for you to make sure you're not hurting us while you're busy helping you. You say, how? Well, you do business and you used our church. You said, I go to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I'm a faithful member there. And the lady said, well, you come on and you can do this work for me. Or here, take this and work on this for me. And the next thing you know, you're not doing your job well. And they're remembering that you used our church to get in their pocket. But now you've built a bad reputation the way you help handle them in business. They're going to remember. Oh, I remember. You're a member of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Whatever the business is, when you're done, our church should look better to them, not worse to them. I have to tell you, I had some work done at a body shop once. And I had written a letter. They had done a good job for me. And I wrote a letter to the owner. I knew the owner, and I wrote a letter. And I talked about their character and their promptness and their decent price and everything. And I went in there many months later, and I noticed that they had taken my letter, they framed it, and put it right by the cash register. People would come in and see my name, and it was Dr. Jeff Owens and all these compliments that I'd give him. Here's the thing. Next time I took them my vehicle, they did a crummy job. They did a nasty job. They were not on time. They were late. It was not done right. They gave me one price, and I went in. They gave me another price. I went in again. They gave me another price. And not that none of these prices were going down, by the way. They were creeping up. And you know something? I knew person after person that came to me and said to me, they said, I was down at this auto shop place, and I seen your letter and your name up there, and I let them do my work. And they said, you know, I didn't have the same experience you did in your letter. I felt terrible. Now, let me tell you all something. People are going to associate your business with our church. And they ought to be able to. I don't want us to stop that. I just want to make sure that when there is an association, that we're better as a church body because of it and not worse. Number two, our business as a church, the way we conduct business here at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, I think we should have a good testimony. The Bible says in Acts 11:26, it says, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. These people had behaved like Christ so much, they began to call them the Christ-like ones, which developed into the term Christian. They were acting like Christ, so they started calling them Christians. What an honor. Those first people that were behaving like Jesus, mimicking, walking in his steps, people started saying, you remind us of Jesus. Well, that's a compliment. Now, you know, folks, we're to behave ourselves, and the way we conduct business, even as a church, it ought to remind people the way Jesus would conduct business. The folks that help with the finances around here, they know this. We want to pay our bills on time. We assert ourselves. But I want you all to know, I want our church to pay our bills on time. I tell you this also, anybody here, when you ever do business with anybody as a representative of this church, I mean, if someday you're down here and you're dealing with people from the power company, or you're dealing with somebody from the telephone company, or I ask you to take the van over here and have it looked at, or you dealt with somebody about the piano, let me say to everybody here, you are to treat the people with whom this church does business with the utmost of admiration, respect, propriety. I get irritated with businesses that are supposed to be giving me a call and communicate with me, and they're lazy and they're slackers and all of that. But let me tell you something. I don't want our church to be that way. If you ever represent this church in any business transaction at all, make sure you do it in such a way that they walk away saying the people down there are prompt, they're honest, they're decent, they're polite, and they're kind. Even when there are situations that could be have contention in them. Do it with dignity. Do it with dignity. And I want to do this. I want us to abide by the law. You drive the van, you drive the bus. I want you to follow the laws of the land. We met with all the drivers and I said, I don't want you texting while you drive. I want us to follow the laws of the land. Our church, I want it to function legally. Why? We're transacting business. It has something to do with our testimony. And I'll say this now and I'll say it later. As we hire staff and things, I'm going to hire staff that will do the right thing. They'll transact their business properly. They're going to behave themselves. So remember, if you own a business, you now represent our church whether you like it or not. There's no way out of it. Secondly, our church, as we do business, let's do it the right way. Number three, be careful when you recommend people from the church to your place of employment. Be careful. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1, it talks about a good name. Now, I love it when you help one another, and I love it when you recommend one another to the place where you work. But I got to tell you something. You need to be careful doing it. Don't destroy your reputation by recommending a deadbeat. And I have to say that because it's the truth. And if you're a deadbeat and you want someone around here to recommend you for a job, but you're not dependable, don't get irritated. And you all have to figure out a way around it. You got to be careful not to offend one another. I don't need you to say, no, I'm not going to recommend you. You're just a deadbeat. But I got to tell you, I would make sure before you recommend somebody, hey, and as our church grows, there are going to be people come that you don't know. There are all sorts of opportunists that come to a church and they're just looking to tap into whatever they can get out of the church. And if we're not careful, because we're good Christians and we love people and we want to help people, if you're not careful, you'll throw your hat in the ring with a deadbeat and you'll tell your boss you ought to hire old Joe, who's been coming to the church for 2 weeks that you don't know anything about, because old Joe said amen one day in the church service and you thought, boy, that guy right there loves God. Well, he might have been dancing on the bar at Joe's Bar and Grill the night before. You don't know them yet. So I'd be careful just recommending any yahoo where you work. Why? Your reputation needs to stay strong. Now, don't let that scare you out of recommending people. We've had a lot of folks that have come here and we have recommended one another to the different places of employment where you work, and it's worked out just fine. And sometimes that can be a feather in your cap. You recommend somebody that's a hard worker and diligent, and you're the one that recommended them, and they go to work where you work, and the boss says, I'll tell you what, people go down there to that church. If they work like those two employees, I'll hire more of them. It ought to be that way. It ought to be that way. If someone in our church helps you to get a job, don't you soil their reputation at their place of work. If somebody helps you to get a job and they went out of their way and put their name on the line for you, show up. You work hard. You learn to suck it up and do what you're told. Because the last thing one of our good church members needs is to recommend you for a job and you get fired and they won't hire anybody else from the church and the person that recommended you now looks bad to the boss. There's responsibility. Folks, just so you know, just because someone's saved does not make them a good Christian. And just because someone's saved does not make them dependable or prompt. I got to tell you this. There are some people that are faithful to church that are not good employees. I've watched all sorts of people come to church, but you can't get any work out of them. They're lazy rascals. So just be careful when you recommend people to your place of employment. You say, well, preacher, I would want to please you and recommend anybody that needs a job. I wouldn't recommend just anybody. I wouldn't tell them I wouldn't. Now I would recommend you. Number four, be careful doing business with people in the church. And again, I want you to do it. I think it's great for Christians to hire Christians to meet their needs. I'm for it. Galatians 5:13 says, but by love, serve one another. I think the best thing is if we can hire Christians and work with Christians, that we work with Christians and that we hire Christians. But I have to tell you, again, just because they're saved doesn't mean they're Christian. There's more to being a Christian than being saved. Christian is a behavior. Salvation is a state. It's something you receive for free. Anybody can get that. Even the welfareites can suck up some salvation. But there's some work at being a Christian. I want people in the church to do business with one another. I think it's a good idea. Hey, I should have said this at the beginning of the sermon. I have not had one problem with what I'm teaching you tonight. I have not. I'm not trying to fix something that's broken. I want to make it so something doesn't get broken. I don't like tension. And one of the best ways to fix it is to fix things before they break. That's the cheapest way to fix things, by the way. Breakdown maintenance, it always costs you more. So I'm not trying, if you say, well, preacher heard. No, I didn't hear. If you got yourself in a mess, I don't know anything about it. But what I'm trying to do is I want to help us so that we don't have those kinds of problems. But so I say to you, be careful doing business with people in the church. It doesn't always turn out great. Now the problem comes when their opinion about the work and your opinion about the work don't match. Next thing you know, the one for whom the work is being done, if they're displeased, they're verbally attacking someone. Now, let me tell you something. Christians have to be careful how they handle themselves. If you're going to do business with people in the church, you need to know how to handle yourself. And remember, just because someone's saved or they're a church member, that doesn't necessarily qualify them to be a good business person. But I just want you to do this. If you're going to do business with people in the church, learn how to behave. Now, here's what happens sometimes. Some people would say, well, I'd rather do business with the lost people. That way I'm not disappointed. What I would like is for us to do business with the saved people and not disappoint each other. Well, why is it you say to someone, you know, if you don't straighten it up, you're going to have to quit that job. And they say, okay, I'll just quit. Why don't people say, you know what, I'll step up and do what I said I was going to do? Why does it have to be, well, I'll just quit. I'll just run. I just won't fulfill my responsibility. Listen, doing business with people in the church is a good thing. But you're going to have to learn both the person that is doing the hiring and the person that is doing the work. You're going to have to learn how to treat each other. In a minute, I'll be able to tell you a little bit more about how to treat each other. But if you hire somebody from the church and you expected everything they do to be pristine and perfect, and they're going to do it for you for free. Matter of fact, they'll even pay your way. You might want to just go hire a lost person. And see if they'll do it for you for free and it's pristine without any error at all. Christians are human beings too. But just remember, if you're going to do business within the church, behave yourselves. Here's what I'd like to say, and I'm going to say it. If you're going to do business with each other in the church, don't you be ruining our church spirit and you quitting church and being mad at people because you couldn't handle doing business within this church. Get along.
Yes, sir.
Figure it out. Apologize. Fix it. Say I'm sorry. But don't get your little feelings hurt and put your tail between your legs and run and whine and cry. If you're going to do business within the church, do it right. And I'm talking about with a good Christian spirit. Like I have. Number five. Now here's what will help you. Be ready to suffer loss. It's the spiritual thing. Be ready to suffer loss. I'll read a verse to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and you defraud, and that your brethren. Now, let me explain. This talk about two Christians get in a hassle over something. They go to court. I'll make it very clear to you. I'm sure, when we prepared our constitution and bylaws, it states if you're a member of this church, you will not go to law with another member of this church. Why? Because it's unscriptural.
Right.
Christians ought to be able to sit down and work things out. We're not to be suing one another. It's unscriptural. It's sin. Now, there are churches everywhere where their pastor won't tell them that, but they're wrong for the pastor not telling the people that. We're not to get to the point where we're that carnal. But notice it said here, why do you not rather take wrong? You know what that means? Sometimes, if there's a difference between two Christians, somebody has to be big enough to say, I'll take the hit. I'll suffer the loss. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Look at me and listen to this very carefully. Because somebody's got to be enough Christian that people are more important to them than money. My children grew up watching their dad suffer loss at any cost. At any cost. So that I could keep my relationship with people right. There are times my boys would come to me and say, Dad, they're taking you to the cleaners. I'd say, I know. I just want to stay close to them and I want to help them. And I don't want them to walk away saying, I was the cheater. Now, y'all, if you can learn to live like that, you'll get along with people, okay? And you won't keep everybody happy all the time. But let me tell you this. Here the Bible's talking about our testimony, the Lord's testimony. It says, why wouldn't you rather take wrong? Why wouldn't you rather be defrauded than to defraud? And the Apostle Paul said, what are you doing, two born-again Christians, going to the lost courts to let a lost man make a decision between two saved people? That is embarrassing. So, you say, well, how do we keep that from happening? You take the hit. Sometimes the Bible teaches you could go to a third party and say, listen, the two of us have a disagreement about a financial thing. Could you help us decide? Well, one thing you have to do is if you're going to go to a third party for counseling, both of you have to be humble enough to say whatever the third party decides is fair is fair. I've watched people go to the third party and say, help us through this. Both of us disagree on this, and they make a decision, and one of the parties says, I'm sorry I came to you. You didn't give me what I wanted. And that's self-centeredness, and that's pride, and that's stinginess, and that's greed. So, would you like to stay in a fundamental Baptist church for a long time? If somebody owed you $5 and you have never forgotten it, could I say, could you just forget about it and go on? Every time you see them, they shake your hand, you're thinking, you owe me $5. You owe me $5. You see them get a sandwich at McDonald's and you want to go grab it and say, that's my sandwich. It's my $5. Folks, look. Money's not more important than people. There are times you just need to forget about it and go on. Now, if it was a business transaction, you might not want to do business with them again. But do be politely. Hey, and remember this. There are some people that you do business with and they didn't do so well the first time, but they learned and they grew and they became great business people. So you don't have to write them off forever. But I'm just saying, be ready to suffer loss. Number six, do excellent work. So others don't have to suffer loss. Handle yourself in an excellent way so others don't have to suffer loss. You know, if you're the one right now that's gaining and somebody else is suffering loss, you're saying, I like this thing. I think the person that I owe ought to suffer loss. Well, you're a good Christian. The truth is, though, if we would all approach it, and those of us that render services, whether we're in business or we work for someone, if we would do our part and go above and beyond the call of duty, the people that we're serving or working for, they would not have to suffer loss because of us. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Do it with your might. Do good work. Do the best. Can I recommend that you not oversell yourself? You know, you're better off telling them you'll do a good job and you'll do good service. And give them a higher quality product than what they expected. Because if you oversell yourself and then you don't do as good work as what you think, they're going to be disappointed. They're going to feel cheated. That means you have to be in touch with reality on the quality of what you do. There are people who can paint. And there are people who can't. And the ones that can't paint, if they don't know they can't paint, they think they can, we have a mess. Can you paint or can you not paint? That'd be a real good test for some of you. But I've had people say to me, oh, I can paint. And I'm thinking, why did I ever give that person a paintbrush? There's more on them and on the floor. And what a mess. And what do? But look, just do excellent work. Let me say to everybody, if you're going to work for somebody, do you know that your job is to please the customer? As the hired one, you don't force the customer to have it your way and do it your way. You were hired to do it their way. So remember that. Proverbs 31, verse 18, it says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. In other words, here's a lady, and I think this was probably, she was either cooking or she was a seamstress, and she said, my work is good work, and we're to do good work. Folks, it ought not be that lost people who have the devil as their father, that they're doing better work than the Christians of the Twin River Baptist Church. Matter of fact, we ought to be even doing better work than a bunch of the religious people in town, because we really do have Jesus Christ as our Savior. We really do have the Holy Spirit to lead us. Let me recommend, don't be making promises that you can't keep in business. Employees, do good work at work. So, this is what I've said so far. I said, number one, if you own a business, you now represent the church whether you like it or not. Number two, I want our church business to be done appropriately and pleasing to God. Number three, be careful recommending people to your workplace. And if anybody ever recommends you, you do a good job, because the person that recommends you deserves that. And I want us to recommend each other, but let's not hurt our church or one another in doing so. I said number four, be careful when you do business with people in the church. You've got to realize, if you're going to do business, never should our doing business among ourselves keep somebody out of church. I'm talking about they're mad. It should never keep somebody from loving one another and getting along in the church. And there's some of you, you've been around here and you're old enough and you've been at it long enough. There are people who do business in the church. Somebody will quit and walk away and never come back to church over it. Let's not let that happen. That's where I'd say, I'd rather you went and did it with the heathen than to do it within the church and destroy your friendship or relationship within church. I said number five, be ready to suffer loss. You're not to go to law with one another. And then the way around that is often when you say, okay, I give in. Giving in is a hard thing to do, but it'll solve a lot of problems. Number six, do excellent work so people don't have to suffer loss because of you. Number seven, and I'll do this one as quickly as I can, be ethical in business. Be ethical. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affection one toward another, with brother love and honor preferring one another. To me, ethics is that in honor preferring one another. Folks, we live in a very stingy world. We live in a world where it's always, what's in it for me? What do I get out of it? How will it affect me? I've got to watch out for old number one. Did you know that God teaches we ought to be watching out for others? I think it is very difficult in the atmosphere that's out there for you to be a good, wholesome Christian businessman. Because in the world, it's dog eat dog, cutthroat. And I want everybody here to know, you're not supposed to be like that. You say, well, I don't want to be weak. Christianity's not weak. Christianity's strong. Somebody fooled you. Somebody made you think that John Wayne, that's what a man is. It's not. Jesus Christ is what a man is. The Holy Scripture is what a man is. But we live in a stingy world. God teaches us to do our best. And He also teaches us it's not wrong to watch out for the other guy too. You say, you mean in business? You're going to find out the principles of the Bible work. They work. I'm not telling you to be a slacker. I'm not telling you to roll over and play dead. I am telling you this. I believe in ethics. I believe in ethics. I remember when business people used to have ethics. I remember that. I remember when you could walk on a car lot and you could begin to speak to someone about a car and they would ask you, have you spoken to one of our other salesmen? Why? Because if you have someone else with which you're dealing, it would be unethical for me to take over where he left off. Let me get that other guy. Now it's cutthroat. They'll run out the door and five of them try to tackle y'all at one time. Preachers don't practice many ethics anymore either. We had someone come and visit our church from another church about, 5 months ago. They came to me and they said, "Boy, I like what's going on around here." I said, "Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're enjoying it." They said, "How do I become a part of this thing?" I said, "Where do you go to church?" And they went to another independent fundamental Baptist church in the area. I said, "Well, what you do is go talk to your pastor." They turned as white as a ghost. I said, "Well, is that the only way?" I said, "No, I could go talk to him for you." I'm not trying to take the people from another fundamental Baptist church. Now, I don't consider it proselyting if they don't believe, right? You know, if their church is out there, don't believe we have a Bible and don't believe in salvation, that's not proselyting. But another church that believes right, a fundamental Baptist church, I'm not trying to get their members. There are people in this building that know. Before they came to this church, I said, "You're coming by way of permission of your pastor or you're not coming." That's called ethics. You say, "Well, are you ever going to build a church that way?" We seem to be doing okay. Man may not always honor ethics, but God does. And I believe even some of that in business. Brother Young, I asked him to call a businessman and talk to a businessman about something for me, and he did. And that businessman said, "I think you ought to recommend to Brother Owens that he do this and this." And Brother Young, he wrote me an email. He said, "Preacher," he said, "do this and this, but I think I know you well enough that you're not going to do that, and I'll tell you why." Because it was a bypassing of an ethical expectation that I had placed upon myself. Say, was it a sin? No. And in the world, it's very acceptable. But I'm not going to go that route because I'm afraid that I don't only want to do right, I want to do right the right way. I'm not out to win at any cost. I'd like to win the right way. So ethics. Hey, treat other businesses the way you'd want to be treated. Be ethical. Let me move on. Number 8. Be careful doing business at church. Be careful doing business at church. I won't take the time to read it, but in John chapter 2, verse 13, 14, 15, and 16, there are some people that had taken advantage of the fact that they gave sacrifices at the church. And they had set up all sorts of booths, and they were selling pigeon doves, and they were selling all sorts of animals and everything. And they weren't there because they loved the Lord selling good Christian materials. They were there to make money off the people. And I think you all know there at one point Jesus threw a fit about that sort of thing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with a tour group from a Bible college came and we sold some of their CDs. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I do know this. I think the Lord wants us to be very careful turning church into a place where we do all of our outside business.
Yes,
no, this is the church.
Amen, right?
This is where we do the Lord's business. If I mention something that you sell, I don't have you on my hit list or anything. I don't have any problem with Avon. I wish some of you would wear some Avon. There's all sorts of vitamins and things that people can sell and all that's fine. I mean, there are people that own little businesses where they sell makeup and vitamins and perfume and home decor and jewelry, and I'm not against any of that, but I don't want to turn the church into just a marketplace. Don't make people feel uncomfortable. Hey, I want us to help each other. I don't mind if you have something that you want to get some help with, but let's just not be tapping the church constantly with our independent businesses. And that might be hard for some of you to understand, but it's a wise thing for a pastor to say. And to some degree, and I don't mean this 100%, but to some degree, try to leave. Sometimes business people need a little break from their business. Look, if we had a dentist here in the church, I would just want to say to you, would you stop? You know, we don't need everybody to be walking up to the dentist and saying, "Hey, you see that tooth right there? I think I got a cavity in that. What do you think, doc?" Now, look, he works all week long as a dentist. He might want a little break while he's at the church. I never want business people to feel like they're being tapped into continually at the church. and we'll see more and more successful people come. Hey, and you know what? They'll be gracious, and I think our business people are going to be kind, and they're going to answer questions, and they're going to be willing to do some transaction of business. But you got to be careful, because if you're doing it all the time with everybody, before long, we're talking more about all the business, and we're talking about Jesus and the Bible and the things of God, and people that wanted to get away from the hassles of the world, now they come to church, and we brought all the hassles into the church. I don't mind. I've overseen a couple Christian schools. You know what I told my Christian school? I told them, I said, I don't want you constantly putting pressure on the church people, selling things in church. Now, we have kids that go to our Christian school, and they bring things to the church, and they sell them. I'm good with that. I don't have a problem with that. But kids, you'll have to understand something. There's sometimes people just probably can't afford it. And so I want you to be understanding. And folks, if you can help them, you help them. But I'll tell you what, if you can't, don't be afraid to say, I just can't afford it. And kids, you say, why, thank you. That's okay. I'll tell you this, the average Christian school, if the church said, we'd like to come to your school and sell to people 5 or 6 times a year, they'd say, well, you're not going to come on our property and sell anything. But they'll send people everywhere and right back into the church to sell things at the church, and that ought to be just fine. Y'all okay? Suck some air. Breathe. This is reality. So I'm good with it. I don't have a problem with it. Let's just deal with it properly. Let's not have those ridiculous pressures and let's be good to one another. I never want the exchanging of money and work to hurt our spirit within the church. Number 10, be honest in your business dealings. Hosea, it says he is a merchant that the balances of deceit are in his hands. Here's somebody that was doing business, but they were deceitful. Look, what's the best way to teach this? Hey, look, if you sell somebody a submarine and it has a problem, be honest about the problem. If the periscope's not working, tell them the periscope's not working. And remember, when I watch people in the church buying and selling and trading and wheeling and dealing and exchanging money, you're all saying, isn't this great? And I'm back here going, oh, brother, I just know what's coming. One, they used to sit right by each other at church. Now one sets over here and one sets over there, and they park on different ends of the church parking lot, and they won't talk to each other. They're praying for each other, praying that the other guy dies. Hey, if you're going to do business in the church and you're going to buy and sell, you've got to be honest with one another. When you're selling to people in the church, remember, we see each other 3 times a week. I'm going to tell you a story, and this happened. If you're going to sell things in the church, you better use your brain. I had a fella that came to my adult Sunday school class when I worked at Dr. Hiles. He was selling Kirby sweepers. And this isn't any slight on Kirby. We have a Kirby at home. My wife makes me run it all the time, and it works very well. But this fella, he came in, and he went to one couple in my Sunday school class, and he sold them this Kirby sweeper. And he sold it to them, and it cost them about $2,100 for everything. Well, they recommended somebody else in my Sunday school class, and he went to see them. He sold the second people the identical package for $1,700. Then they recommended to another, and he sold the third one for $1,500. There was about a $700 spread. Little did the fool realize they all went to the same Sunday school class. And the following Sunday morning, they were sitting around the eating trough, sucking down coffee and eating donuts. And one said to the other, got me a new vacuum cleaner. The other one said, why, so did I. And another one chimed in and said, me too. Well, I got a Kirby, so did I. Me too. I bought mine from Joe. Me too. I bought the Eureka package, or you know, whatever it was, and they all said, me too. And one said, I stole mine at $2,700. One went, I only gave $1,500 for mine. And the other one said, I gave $1,700 for mine. Do you know, there were 3 people standing within 3 feet of each other who had all been sold the same product at a variety of prices, because it was how much the salesman could sucker the buyer. Now, can I tell y'all something? You might want to treat each other in the church fairly, because we were around each other a lot. Yeah. Right. It's called justice. People that have worked through me through the years would hear me say, are we setting a precedence here? Are we doing something now that we're willing to continue to do? Is what we're doing for one going to be fair for others? Are we willing to do it for others? Because can I tell you something? People like justice, especially when it comes to themselves. Oh, people want to be treated fairly. Now, it doesn't mean they want to treat everybody fairly. But boy, when it comes down to you treating me, let's be on our best behavior. Folks, if I could, please, please treat me right. If you want to treat anybody else right, please treat me right. Because I'm the most important person in the whole world to me. Well, I'm telling you, if you're going to do business in the church, you might want to use your head. People talk. And it won't be long till you'll be saying, well, nobody out in the church will do any business with me. There might be a reason. Be honest. I've got two more points, and you can handle it, and we'll get out of here. Number 9, may I recommend that you are extremely cautious ever going into business together. Most businesses shared by two church members go sour. They shouldn't be that way. I would say 90% of the time, two church members that throw their money together and they try to go into business together, it fails. Your highest potential of going into business with somebody in the church is if it's family, and even then, it may not be worth it at the family reunion. Do you know how important money seems to be to people? People kill each other over money. I mean, families are divided and churches get in a mess. Oh, my. So you say, well, me and old Joe here, we're going to go into business together. If you come see me, here's what I'll say to you. And just so you know, I'll tell you right now, I'll say, brother, I think if anybody could do it, you probably could. But I have to tell you, I don't ever recommend that. But I think you guys are good Christians and you're probably good businessmen. And if anybody could do it, you probably could. But I don't recommend it. You know why? That's because when it all goofs up, I'm going to say, nah, 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 nah. I told you. No. Hey, I'll help you. If I say I wouldn't do that and you go do it anyway, I'll try to help you. I don't want you to fail. I want you to succeed. And I wish that you would. But I'm just going to tell you, 9 out of 10, 90 out of 100, when two Christians go into business and try to share business and try to share money, it doesn't work. Because money's too important. It's way too important. The safest way, if you want to go into business, is go into business with you and the Lord. Let Him be your business partner, and everybody else works for you. Financial agreements and the lending and borrowing of money. I'll say this, and it's not my primary point, but let me tell you, if you all want to lend each other money, okay, you may do so. I think we ought to try to help each other out. I'm going to tell you, you better be very, very careful doing it. About the time you borrow money from somebody in the church and they don't pay you back, you can have issues. You say, well, what's the right way to do it? I'll tell you the right way to do it. Brother York, if you said to me, preacher, can you lend me some money? I'd say, Brother York, how much you need? He said, I need $5. I'll look at the $5 and I'll say, can I part with that? Do I have to have it? I say, no, I don't have to have it. Here, Brother York.
Sure.
The Bible says this. Lend, hoping for nothing again. That means you lend it, and you say, if I never get it back, I'll love him. It'll never come between us for a moment if he never gives it back to me, because it's done. You say, I can't afford to do it. Then I probably should keep the $5 in my wallet, because I've let the money supersede the Scripture. And, you know, there are some very good people out there that will let you owe them all sorts of money. I've just got to tell you, folks, if you owe people money, pay them. It's sad how many Christians have to take a hit because people just don't pay back. A good man in the church came to me not long ago. He said, I need a little money. I said, I'll see if I can help you. I said, I can't, but maybe we'll find somebody. Somebody helped him. And you know what? The man paid back. He paid back just like he was supposed to. What a wonderful testimony. But it don't always work out that way. And then what do? You owe somebody money and they're needing it. They got to pay their bills. And so when the one that owes the debt comes and says, look, can you give me some more time? What do you do if you're a good Christian? You grab them by the throat and say, no, I want it now. No, you force them. They have to act like a Christian. They're going to say to you, well, what choice do I have? I'm just telling you, in the church, y'all going to be borrowing money from each other? I'll counsel with you. I'll try to help you through it. But you will all see in the lifetime of this church, people leave the church over that sort of thing. Is it okay if you can do it the right way? Let me tell you this. Let's make sure we also keep after the Father's business. Amen. Let's make sure we're doing things for our Lord. I'll make one other comment. We'll pray and go home. I call it Christian welfare. Let me explain something to you. I think all of us ought to pitch in and help each other out. I think there are times when you're going to need help and I'm going to help you and you're going to help me, and I think two men in the church are going to help each other out. I think there's sometimes bartering where we, you know, you cut grass and somebody else cuts hair and they switch it out, and you end up looking like a hedge and the yard looks like they got a crew cut, and you're all fine with that and I'm all good with that. You just got to be fair and you got to be honest with one another. But I do want to tell you this. You can't expect people to carry you all the time. For instance, if there's somebody in this, somebody opens up an automotive shop, and that's what they do. They work on cars. They own, you know, Joe's Automotive. I got to tell you something. A good Christian brother comes by and helps you fix your car and fixes it up, and they say, I'll just do that for you. But, you know, that's how they earn their living. Sooner or later, you might have to say, hey, let me give you a few bucks to help me. But it can get to the point where everybody just expects everybody to do everything for them all the time for free and for nothing. And then if they owe us something, now we want it. Now, I am every bit for the Christians in the church helping each other out. I think we ought to help each other out. But here's probably what needs to happen. And by the way, if a good Christian brother says to you, hey, no problem, I'm just doing that to help you, You can accept it. That's his call. But could I recommend that it's not always that way? I grew up in the generation where when two men went to get a cup of coffee, there was a struggle. It wasn't a struggle to give the bill away. It was a struggle to get the bill. That's the generation in which I grew up. It was not somebody carry me, let me help you. Now, let me say to everybody here, if you get help, great. If somebody's good to you and they help you and they fix this or do that or do this for you and they help you with that, that's all great and wonderful. But it shouldn't be that every time they do that, they know it's welfare. Christians are to carry their way. So you say, well, what do I do about that? Offer them some money. If they turn it down, you can stick it back in your pocket. That was their call. But offering, remember, if that's their business, and if we believe in supporting people in the church, and we're going to do it financially because we think we're ought to do business with Christian people. Okay, somewhere along the line, they have to make money to pay their bills. And we'll get the tithe out of that. So make sure the money exchanges from time to time. I'm going to repeat myself, and I'm done. I call it biblical business advice. Number one, if you own a business, you now represent the church. If you do business, you're representing the church. Secondly, our church is going to try to do business in a very, very respectful way in the community. Number three, be careful recommending people to work where you work. And if you go to work and got a recommendation, make it good that those people are not embarrassed or hurt by you working with them. Number four, be careful doing business with people within the church. If you're going to do business with people in the church, don't ever let it hurt the church's spirit or hurt your relationship with that person. That means, number five, you got to be ready to suffer loss. There are times when you just need to say, forget about it. It's okay. Because we don't want that money to become a point of contention, or we don't want the exchange to become a point of contention. Number six, do excellent work so people don't have to suffer loss because of you. Number seven, learn to be ethical. Even in business, treat people right. Treat other business people the way you want to be treated, even if they don't treat you right. That's what Christians do. Number eight, be careful doing business in the church with trading, buying, selling. You can do it, but again, don't let it hurt the church's spirit. Number nine, I don't usually, matter of fact, I have never recommended two Christian brothers to go into business together, ever. And I have had thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of counseling appointments. I've never recommended it. I've told fathers and sons and mothers and daughters it would probably work. But usually I say one person needs to own the business. Everybody else works for them because it doesn't usually work out. We just haven't learned this thing about sharing. We're not good enough at it to share. Number 11, keep after the Father's business. And number 12, be careful that we do not continuously practice Christian welfare. That's where we're always looking for something for nothing all the time. Here's what I mean by that. You should not always be the recipient. You know, there's some people that are, they're receivers. Constantly. They're always the receivers. No, I think all of us ought to be receivers. Man, all of us ought to be givers. Sometimes I'm receiving your kindness to me. There are other times you're going to receive my kindness to you. But you're not always to be the one that's getting. We're all to do both. If we'll do what I said, we won't have a bunch of extra tension inside our church. And we have all sorts of businesses that are represented in here, and business people and people that I think are going to succeed. But if we'll do it this way, we'll all succeed together. All right? And it won't hurt our church. I'd rather we all be poor and not succeed in business and get along at church than to have a bunch of cutthroat business transactions going on that ruins the spirit. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes if we could. And we're not just talking about a business person that owns a corporation. I'm talking about just transacting business between the brethren. Whether it's cleaning houses, it's babysitting, it's mowing yards, it's cleaning out the garage, it's buying and selling cars, or whatever it is. Let's keep it spiritual. Let's not make it so we ever lose one person because we didn't handle ourselves right in a business transaction. I'm going to ask the pianist in a moment to begin to play. When I do, we'll stand. And if you need a moment, some of you just need to say, Lord, that's what I want. I want to transact business the right way. There might be some of you that need to curb some of your thinking a little bit. There's some people in here, look, there's some of you just need to say, you know what, I'm just going to forget about this dollar or that dollar. And if you're sitting there saying, well, I hope old brother so-and-so forgets about this or forgets about that, you're not right with God sitting there trying to get out of a debt that you owe somebody, hoping they'll be a big enough Christian to forgive you. You ought to get right with God about that. But be careful. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you may come. Don't hurt somebody else with your transaction of business, being late, being second class, being undependable. Build that business in such a way that Jesus could be co-owner. Hey, and where you buy your gas and where you bank and who you do business with, people know. They know you go to Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Let's have a good reputation. The Lord said, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings." Then he said, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. He said in Proverbs 22, verse number 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. In Acts 11, 26, they were called Christians first at Antioch. Galatians 5, 13 says, but by love serve one another. Remember that point about us suffering wrong and not going to law, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 7 and 8. Remember what you do and when you work hard. Because Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. One more time through the song and we'll be done. look back at me, if you will, for